Oh, man. VBS seriously is a blast. It is so fun. And I just want to take a brief second to talk about it. The event is huge. There's so many moving parts. There's so many things happening, and it couldn't have happened without those that helped. And so I know that I'm probably missing some teams, but I know that there was the check-in station, there were group leaders, there was a tech team, the MCs, the worship team, craft team, missions team, rec, snack crew, cleanup crew, security, nurses, the setup team, the Bible team, behind the scenes team, and Lindsay herself. If you served at VBS, will you just go ahead and stand up for me? If you served in any way, if you offered time, thank you so much. And of course, Lindsay herself. Thank you, Lindsay, for organizing VBS. You are awesome. Thank you, guys. You may have a seat. It is such a joy to serve alongside you. VBS is it's kind of a memory-making thing that, you know, for the kids, like, hey, how you doing? And then when your back's turned, it's like, I am so out of breath. Every limb hurts. Everything hurts. I need a V8, a 5-hour, and a coffee, and then I'll take a nap at 1. It's going to be awesome. No, but like, it's such a joy because there's such an innocence with kids, and they're just like, you know, happy, and you know what, clap your hands. Kids are like, yes, my favorite game. Like, there's just joy. And so we get to be a part of that for 4 days. Adults, it was a joy to serve alongside you, to see your maturity and the experience you brought to loving kids and discipling them. My students, I am so proud of you. The way that you gave this week, the maturity that you demonstrated as you led kids and worked tirelessly outside and inside. But also, it was just a joy to watch our kids. There were our older kids that also served as leaders as well in their respective groups that were helping kids quiet down or just helping follow rules, whatever it was. But hearing kids recite scripture is one of the most precious things in the whole world. Just the start of that video, just hearing them read out Psalm 23, I don't know if there's a more beautiful thing. To hear them proclaim God's truth, that he is our shepherd, to hear them get excited about it, to hear them talk about the reasons to praise our God and King, what a beautiful thing. And I know that many of us have heard this psalm, Psalm 23. We see it a lot of places. A lot of people know about it. It's on a lot of pillows and pictures. And it's pretty easy to see its beauty immediately. Like, wow, like what a, there's so much jam-packed here. But it's also very easy to miss what that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, the depth of that, that's not just not a throwaway phrase. It's not a, oh yeah, cool. What does it mean, the Lord is my shepherd? And how this impacts my identity, how it impacts my needs, my peace, my future. And so as we dive into a text like this, Psalm 23, what does it mean if we were to read that psalm to say, Lord, like, the Lord is my shepherd? What does that mean? And so I'm going to read our psalm for us, Psalm 23. We'll pray, and then we'll dive straight in. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for this opportunity to be in here with our church family. God, to dive into your word, would you please help me, Lord, as I communicate, would you help us to open up our hearts and ears to hear what you have to say? God, we love you and praise you and thank you in your holy name. Amen. So first, as we look at this phrase of what it means, the Lord is my shepherd, we're going to look at that our identity is set in the shepherd. And we'll also address our needs, our peace, our future. But first, our identity is set in the shepherd. So in that very first part, the Lord is my shepherd. And so if we're saying, God, you are my shepherd, of course, that calls us sheep. And so let's address the relationship between sheep and shepherd as well. And sheep are beautifully and precious, helpless creatures. It's so humorous as you talk about sheep, and it's like, how are sheep still around? I don't know how sheep exactly continue to be the way that they are. But you know, there's no defensive mechanism at all. They're just there. Like, there's nothing to attack with. They're not fast. They're not smart. Their eyesight isn't great. So it's like, you guys are doing awesome. They get lost and wander super easily. They have this herd mentality that if they see a sheep go on, they're like, bro, he probably knows what's going on. I'm going to follow that sheep. And so they're just like even if they're, I read the story, but I know there was like this sheep went off a cliff and a sheep was like, that looks like a good idea. So they kept going and a bunch of sheep died. Eventually, there was such a pileup of sheep that the rest of the sheep survived because they kept just falling on the sheep. But this is the creature that's like, hey, that doesn't look awesome, but I'm going to do it too. These are sheep. They will often overeat. If they just start eating, they won't stop. And I understand that. But also, it's like, okay, it's hey, brother, like, understand, you got to stop. When it comes to water, they'll just kind of drink whatever's closest to them, whether it's clean or not. They are afraid of fast water. They think it's an enemy. And so it's just pretty awesome. Whether they're lying down, they're shifting weight, or they're scared, sheep can become cast sheep, where they end up on their back with their legs in the air. And gas like bubbles up in their stomach and it cuts off circulation in their legs. And if they don't, like, if the shepherd doesn't right them, they die. And so it's like, man, these sheep are great and so helpless. And if we call the Lord our shepherd, that does make us sheep. And we see a lot of parallel here of our helpless state. But the shepherd, he helps these helpless creatures live. He protects them from threats. He lays down at the gate of the sheep pen and protects them. He'll fight predators. He'll help them find the right things, the right nourishment and care. He'll turn them over if they become cast sheep. He'll lead them. He'll guide them. He'll be their authority. And so the transition here isn't terribly hard to see, but if we read this psalm, we go, man, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Then we're doing two things there. We are right recognizing first our position of need and how helpless we are. Like, oh, stupid sheep, like, shouldn't you know that? And then we take a look at our lives and see the helpless pits that we fall into, the sin that we bandwagon from other people. We see the things that we're not able to take care and find ourselves. There's these things where we need help. We see our helpless state that we are in desperate need for a guide, for a leader, for a protector, for a provider. We recognize our need as sheep, but also we recognize God's position of authority. Say, God, you are my shepherd. Then as the sheep is to the shepherd, we are to the Lord God Almighty, that he is able to lead. He is the ultimate authority that ultimately knows better than us, knows where to find nourishment, knows where to find care, knows where to find water, knows where to help us find rest. He can guide us and lead us and protect us in a way that to us doesn't even make sense. And so by saying, God, like, the Lord, my God, like, you are my shepherd, then we recognize that, our need and our shepherd. And if we begin to forget our need, and if we begin to forget the shepherd's role, then that is when we become blind. We get hurt. We're in danger. We don't get the things that we need. We tire out. We lose steam. We become cast sheep. And so as we hear this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, it's good to ask, where have I forgotten my dependence on the Lord? Where have I forgotten that relationship, my desperate need for God, my shepherd? And I've begun to try to live like the shepherd, or I imagine that I don't need my shepherd anymore. Where has that happened in our life? And so two, the Lord is my shepherd. Our identity is set. Next, our needs are met by the shepherd. Our needs are met by the shepherd. In that second half of verse 1 through the bottom of verse 3, it says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so we see this, he makes me lie down. We follow him. A shepherd in David's time, David is who wrote this psalm. A shepherd wouldn't drive the sheep from behind and try to push them. He would lead and say, hey, come on, follow me. And so there's already a challenge there for us to follow our God and King. But it says he leads me to green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In this time in Israel, Israel didn't have an overabundance of just plentiful green pastures and fields. And whenever it rained, it would sprout more. But the shepherds would have to lead their sheep to plentiful land where grass was, so that sheep wouldn't go hungry or starve. In the same way, the Lord provides us nourishment and care in a way that we could not on our own. To find pastures, to find land to graze that we could not on our own, a place to lay down and rest in safety. That he knows our needs better than we could. And that doesn't mean that in our lives and in our walk that there aren't infertile lands or places where there isn't grass, but it means we trust him. We trust our shepherd to lead and guide to where and what we need. And next, he leads me beside still waters. Again, a sheep could not drink from a rushing stream. Either they would fall in and or they were afraid of it. And they just wouldn't drink because they're intimidated. The shepherd must guide them to a safe place, both to drink, to be bathed and clean. But this is what still waters were for. And so in the same way, the Lord satisfies our desires in the exact way that we need. Because we recognize our need for water. The sheep, too, will seek out whatever is closest to it, if it can even find it. But the Lord knows the thing that we need, what will actually satisfy that thirst, that desire, the thing to guide us to that will be safe for us and actually satisfy that thirst and desire and need that we have. Next, he restores my soul. The shepherd would guide them again to still water so that they could be cleaned and rested as well. The Lord knows our needs better than we ever could or ever will. He knows our physical needs, our spiritual needs, our emotional needs to a depth that we could not. The Lord cleanses us. All these things, this burden, our sins, this weight we carry. The Lord, our God, Jesus came and died for our sins that we might be free. He forgives us of our sins. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. These burdens, this condemnation, this weight, emotional, physical, spiritual, our shepherd takes care of that. There's a huge temptation to wear it, to try to find our own place, but the Lord knows our needs. He guides us to where we need, to what we need, that we might find rest. He forgives us of our sins, even though we try to find ways to satisfy our own guilt and burdens in a way that only makes it worse. There is no condemnation for those who know Jesus. Let us rest in our shepherd's arms and in where he is guiding and leading us to. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The shepherd would know if he brought them away from their pen or home, he would know the correct ways, the safe paths to lead their sheep to get to pastures, to get to water, to get to wherever they needed to be. In the same way, they would know the same way to bring the sheep back home. And so, who else do we want guiding our path to light our road than the Lord God Almighty? Who else do we want to know our needs and burdens and to prepare a way of good works for us than the creator of the universe? If he's saying, man, I want to lead and follow, like, I don't know, this alleyway where that pit is looks better. It's like, we see the sheep, we see this relationship. Man, we need to recognize our desperate need to follow our shepherd, that he recognizes our need in a way that we could not. Spiritual, physical, emotional, and everything. And then again, back to the top in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see this realization of what the shepherd knows guiding us, guiding the sheep to what they need, to what will satisfy the thirst, the hunger, the need for rest. And so we recognize that, and we say, God, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What else is there to want? I shall not want. What else should I want besides the shepherd? But I recognize in following him and calling the Lord my shepherd, I surrender myself. I surrender my rights. I surrender my sinful heart. I surrender my earthly desires. I surrender my pursuits. I follow him. I trust him. Say, God, you are my guide. Please lead me. And we trust in that. And so, of course, if we picture this relationship between the sheep and shepherd as well, we see a sheep who is helpless, who is always trying to, who is attempting to just live, but it keeps getting stuck in places, it keeps drowning, keeps overeating. We see the desperate need. We know, as we look at a sheep and shepherd, we know that the sheep is in the best hands possible when it is with its shepherd. So why do we, in our own lives, neglect the authority and position and guidance of our shepherd? Why do we say, man, the sheep, like, why doesn't it just do what the shepherd wants? Like, the shepherd knows. And then we look at our life and go, oh, like, why do I not follow my shepherd? Why do I seek to find my own path? Why am I getting hurt? Why am I thirsty and hungry spiritually? Why am I going in need when my shepherd is just asking me to follow him? And so can we see this need? Why do we need to find our own water or to follow other sheep or suffer hunger when our shepherd is waiting for us to follow? And so when it says, I shall not want, where are we suffering want right now? If we were to evaluate our lives and say, God, where is it that I lack contentment? God, where am I just demanding needs? God, what do I need to surrender to you? To say, God, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Next, our peace is found in the shepherd. Our identity is set, our needs are met, and our peace is found. In verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And so what it doesn't say is that by following the shepherd, that the valley of the shadow of death and evil and enemies, they all just disappear. And we're now just in green pastures while we are here. The valley of the shadow of death, it exists. The enemies exist. This evil, while we're here on this earth, it exists. And yet David claims, I will not be afraid. Like, that we find comfort in the Lord though these things exist. That there is still an ability to find this peace and comfort and hope. And how does he do that? Why? No matter the trial, no matter the waves, no matter the momentary circumstance, why can we be at peace? And it's because of what it says in verse 4, that you are with me. If we recognize that Yahweh, the creator of the universe, that God is with me, that he is my shepherd, that he is guiding me, that he is protecting me, that he is seeing to my needs, that he knows what I need, then why am I afraid? Why be afraid? Why be at fear? Why let anxiety rule? Why find my own junky grass over here when the Lord is guiding me and leading me to what I need? Gosh, he's so good. Yes, danger is near, but the Lord protects. It says that he has a rod and a staff. And so this rod, similar to almost like a short stick, a mace, a baton of sorts that, you know, to fight off enemies and to fight off adversaries, lions and bears and wolves and all the things that would come for sheep to fight them off, to protect them. Then he had a staff, which I'm sure could also use for beating and whacking as well. But specifically, that was to grab the sheep, to be able to move them, to count them, to sort them. And so through these things, he's able to both protect and guide and discipline and lead and help us walk in safety. What a beautiful thing that he does. And so we too can take comfort that the Lord is growing us, that he's leading us, that he's guiding us to where we need to be, and that shepherd's crook, the sheep don't always want to go where they're supposed to go. Sometimes it's like, come on, like, we're going here. Sometimes we need that. gosh, I can be so stubborn in my sin. And so sometimes I need that shepherd's crook. Say, hey, like, green pastures are here. Like, come on, still waters are here. You will drown there. Please come to me. And so we need this. We need his guidance. We need his discipline. We need his protection. We need him to be our shepherd and to see to our needs in a way that we never could. Next, enemies are near, but the Lord provides. We see a beautiful thing. It kind of dances between the Lord of shepherd and being in a banquet here. But it says that he prepares a table, that enemies are near, and yet the Lord is still providing food. The Lord is still providing a setting and place for us to be nourished, to be fed. The Lord is seeing to our needs. He anoints our head with oil. This was both a symbol of, you know, a guest of honor coming in and having oil poured on their head and rubbed in. It was a soothing thing, a welcoming thing, an honoring thing. And so we are treated this way by our King. Our needs are being seen to. He welcomes us and provides for us. He says that his cup overflows. Once again, enemies are near. All these things are happening. And yet, because of the Lord, in the way that he provides. It is not just that he provides, but there is abundant provisions for us. As in what the Lord provides is more than we could ever think or imagine and goes to a greater depth than we could ever know. The Lord satisfies our needs in a way that nothing else can. And so let us be able to swallow our pride and back up. And it's just the Lord is doing these things. He prepares a table. He is anointing our head. My cup overflows because of him. So can we let go? Let the Lord set this table. Let this anointing happen. Our cup overflow because of him. And this happens by us surrendering. The Lord's going to do what the Lord's going to do. And yet we so often want to seek control as sheep. And if already seeing this talk of sheep are not good at seeing to their own needs, can we surrender? Say, Lord, you are my shepherd and follow him. In terms of this, considering this language of having confidence in the face of fear, I think about my dad, that I grew up in the Czech Republic from my whole life, and the public transportation system is incredible there. It's just great. So from a very, very young age, I was traveling by myself to and from school, to and from youth group, whatever it was. Like, my friend's house wasn't too far away, so I could just leave and walk and take the tram or metro or bus, and it was great. But Prague at night, it can be scary because, like just the world, there are things that you don't know. There's uncertainty. There's people, whether sober or not. I was always afraid of people bigger than me, which was everybody, because I was like 4'2 forever. It was life. And so I remember walking home from a friend's house who was about 9 blocks away. But walking in darkness, when I hear voices, I hear pubs open and all these things, there's just fear. It's like, gosh, like, I want to run. I don't know. Like, I want to get home safe. But there's also times when I'd be in that exact same circumstance but have my dad with me. And I might have been 9, I might have been 12, might have been 16. I don't know. But just knowing that my dad, and as a kid, you're like, bro, my dad could beat up your dad. Like, your dads are just like super people, and they're awesome and so strong and beat people up, even though I've never seen my dad beat anything up. But it's like, yeah, like, my dad's going to do that. There's just, like, I can rest because my dad is here, and like, he's going to fight somebody, and then I got his back. I don't know. But there's safety in that. And so I think about that for this sheep and shepherd, for our relationship with the Lord. I know that there are seasons that we don't see the end of yet. I know that there are it feels, you hear the valley of the shadow of death, you're like, yeah, like, that's where I am. Like, there are these seasons where there's uncertainty, there's doubt, and there's fear, and there's confusion, and there's anger, and there's brokenness, and there's hurt. There's all of these things, and it's so tempting to get lost in that field, to let this become our new identity. It's like, okay, well, I don't know where my shepherd is. But what we do in faith is say, God, like, even though enemies surround me, God, even in the valley of the shadow of death, even though evil is here, God, I will fear no evil. God, for you are with me. You protect for me. God, you provide for me. You are here. So I will rest in that truth. I will trust that even though I don't see how I get out of here in the way that I think possible, I'm going to trust that you will lead me. God, that you will that you will steer me home. God, would you help me? It is an act of faith. It is an active thing day by day. God, would you help me? God, I don't see it. Would you show me? Would you lead me? And God, I'm just going to trust you with this. Lord, guide me, please. And so where has fear crept in? Where has doubt crept in? Or anxiety or uncertainty? Where there can be trust, faith. Say, God, I don't know how. Please take this, Lord. You are my shepherd. And so next and last, our future is secure with the shepherd. In verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so two things here. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. We've seen who the shepherd is, what he does, what he provides, how he cares. And so in this statement of the Lord is my shepherd, like we're owning that. This is the Lord is my shepherd. Then we can be confident that as we walk, then what is true of the Lord and those that follow him is true of me too. That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because that is true for those who follow the Lord, that we trust him, that our my needs are met in him, that his goodness and his mercy, his way is now true of my life. Every trial, every bit of suffering will make me more aware of my need for my shepherd, his protection, his guidance, his presence, and his wisdom as well. When it says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, for those who have placed their faith in Christ, say, God, I recognize my sin. God, I want to follow you. Please be my shepherd, Lord. There is no losing that. Once we are in his hand, there is no leaving that. We are not lost. The Holy Spirit, for those who have placed their faith in him, we are gifted with the promised Holy Spirit, who is our seal for salvation. There is no losing the Lord as our shepherd. We are confident what our future is. That yes, right now there is evil, there is pain, there is darkness, there is brokenness. But one day that will be over. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First, our eternity is already there, that we are with him now. But one day, either through death or when Jesus comes back, we get to be with him forever. And so knowing that's true, yes, it's beautiful already as is, but how does that help you now? Where does this give us hope and peace and sureness now? I've never run a marathon. I don't know if I ever will. I've done a 5K once. But I know in the middle of a marathon, of a 5K, of a mile run, knowing that you're at 0.75 miles or knowing that you're at mile 21, it's like, gosh, I just want to give up. I just want to stop. Like, I'm exhausted. My legs hurt. I don't know if my feet are still there. Everything's numb and hurts. I'm sweating. My back hurts. But I'm at mile 21. I just have a few more miles left, and then I'm done. Knowing the end is coming, it helps. It helps you finish. It helps you finish strong to push forward more, to think about schooling, and especially towards the end as finals and projects and papers are coming. It's frustrating. It can feel tiring, especially if we've allowed it to build up. And so to know that the semester's end is coming, it helps you power through, to drink some more coffee, to finish the stuff, to try hard, because you know it's going to finish soon. We remember, or if you're at VBS, I don't know, it's day 3 and everything hurts and you're sweaty all the time. You're like, man, this is a lot. And it's so much so, but I know that there's one more day. So it's like, Lord, I want this to belong to you. God, I want to serve these kids. I want to represent you. I want to be a light. God, help me. And so suddenly it's not about your hurting body. It's about this thing, because you know the end is near. And so we remember the future promised to us, that a future is secure in Christ, and now until forevermore, the Lord is our shepherd. And so one thing that we had asked our kids at the very end in Bible is, man, who is your shepherd? Is the Lord my shepherd? And I would love for you to consider that same question. As we see this argument of duh, like the sheep need the shepherd, yes. Can we agree that we need our shepherd as well, that we need to have this relationship with the Lord our God? And that can be something that happens today, right now in this moment, to surrender. Say, God, I recognize my sin. Lord, I need you. I need this. Jesus, I need to call you King. God, I want this relationship with you. If that is stirring up, bubbling in your heart, do not leave today without asking about that. That is a deeply profound and it is a question of an eternal significance. And so, man, do not leave today without asking and saying, God, are you my shepherd, Lord? And so our identity is set, our needs are met, our peace is found, our future is secure. What I would love for us to do as we close out is for us together, just as a church, if we could all read Psalm 23 from 1 through 6 together, I would just love that, and then I'll pray us out. And so Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.